Welcome back to the Sexual Healing Podcast. If this is your first time, welcome in. We're glad to see you. I am one of your hosts, Dr. Pookie, and with me today is...
It's Dark Boy. I'm here.
the usual guy who's here.
Yes.
And our show is talking all about the us having the conversations out loud that you typically keep to yourself in your head. So before we get into all the formalities, how's your day, Dark Boy? How was your week?
The week was crazy, as usual. Work, I mean, I always talk about work, but work is just like, it's too much. You know, you work for a big company, and they, you know, there's big work attached to that big company. So, it's just a little crazy.
Yeah, they keep mistaking you for a sister named Sipsy, you know.
I guess so.
Yeah, they...
But again, I'm happy to have a job, you know, I'm like being employed, I like the paychecks, so.
That's true. A check is a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
Yes, it is. Okay. Well, yeah, I spent the early part of my week recovering from my trip back east, where I definitely, you know, it was those 16, 18-hour days while I was there, and it was pretty brutal. But, you know, hey... It's life. I had my moments of fun, but it was work. and it was bookended by a 5.5-hour flight and a 6-hour flight. So that's probably the worst part of the trip. You know, after 2 hours on a plane, I'm like, are we there yet?
That's why you gotta take a nap, or if you can, or watch a movie.
I was on JetBlue, and I flew out of LAX, so we had the really nice JetBlue planes out of LAX, and the entertainment system is quite nice on those. And I was going to watch Coco, because I have been hearing good things about Coco. And damn it if Coco wouldn't play. I was sitting there bitter. I was like, do I make a scene? Like, because the last time I flew on JetBlue, my entertainment system at my seat in particular was the only one on the plane that was not working. For a 6-hour flight home, no TV, no nothing. And you know, you fly JetBlue because they do have freaking satellite TV. So I was a little bitter, and I was like, do I want to be that person on the plane? So I started watching The Shape of Water, and It was interesting. I didn't finish it because it was a morose period piece, and I wasn't in the mood. I just, you know.
Yeah. And, well, yeah. That one won Best Picture, but I don't know if I agree with that one. So.
Well, that's why I tried to watch it, because it did win Best Picture, and I don't mind a nice little creature movie. And it was interesting, but it was just, I didn't realize that it was set way back in time. I thought it was current, and it was not. And Octavia Spencer was fabulous, as always.
Yeah, I love her.
Yeah, she rocked her part. But the other actress, you know, her character is mute, so it's like you know, I was like, well, she's not really giving me a lot here, you know. So, but hey, it's a good trip. No Coco on the way back. My TV screen was all jacked up because they were showing Coco as the featured film of one of three films. Whereas going out, it was like every Best Picture nominee was available on demand and for free. So I didn't watch Coco coming back either, because my flight was full of high school students and it was very traumatizing. And they were sitting around me. It was a lot. Yeah. And I had a 5-year-old on the other side as well. So yeah, he was good. His mama had his iPad. He was cool. I barely heard him except when he had to go to the bathroom 2 or 3 times. And you know, I'm an aisle seat person, so I had to accommodate his trips to the bathroom. But otherwise, he was perfect kid. I was like, all right. Yeah. So
only other thing I ended up doing this week was just kind of putting the final... putting it with, like, the final check-in and all the stuff for the cruise that me and my husband are going on.
Oh, yes.
So, the Travelers. Looking forward to that. Yes.
Okay. Well, yeah. Well, that'll actually be a fun trip, because I know you guys will be gone for a while. So
we will be, yes. So there won't be any craziness. No work craziness. No craziness at home, just out there having fun, enjoying the sun and the beaches and the food.
Yes, and you know, if you happen to be addicted to the show by the time that, you know, Dark Boy rolls out with the hubby, we will have extra episodes so you will not miss a single week of content. It's like my trip kind of depleted our reserve episodes, so now we're playing catch up again. So, but we're good. So, alrighty, well, shall we get into this week's topic?
I say we do.
Okay, so this week's topic, we actually pulled not out of our brains, but out of the collective brain of a website called Cypher Avenue, which is actually a site that I've been a member of for, I think, about 3 years now. And went into their vault a little bit. They have an article here called The 8-Step Gay House Party Etiquette Guide. And we thought we'd talk about what goes into a gay house party. What's being a good guest about? You know, for some folks, you know, putting in a little striptease as a guest is being a good guest. That's not always the case at a gay house party. I've been to some of those parties where striptease was required, you know. Particularly if you were of the stripper profession with all the proper
assets.
Yes,
and if you had the skills and, you know, hopefully the body and all that stuff too.
Well, you know, strippers can have lots of body types, so there's somebody out there trying to see everything. So, you know. But, yeah, so, you know, so Cypher Avenue is actually a really cool site. It's geared toward the more masculine, leaning gay man. Take that to mean what you want it to mean. And it's, you know, also for the guys that are into gaming and hip-hop and sports and things like that. So it's not your typical gay site that I've seen in my travels. So it's one of the reasons I like it, because I am a sports nut. So let's get into these 8 steps to I guess not necessarily a successful gay house party, but just gay house party etiquette, you know.
Yeah, just to make it fun for everybody. Or yeah,
that's it.
No drama, so, whatever.
Yeah, so you know, so if you, now this is all from the perspective of being a guest. This list. So the first step is to don't invite everyone to someone else's party. What are your thoughts on that one?
I always think, I feel very weird about inviting other people, because to me, I think the host should be the one that says who's invited. So I never want to just invite a whole bunch of other people, because you don't know. I mean, especially, and I think in the gay world, I've heard of, like, you know, 6 degrees or 2 degrees of separation or whatever. So it's like, you don't know that you could be inviting somebody that has a history with somebody else. And so it's just, so for me, I'll always leave it up to the host, or I'll ask, hey, I want to invite this person. Is it okay? And then, you know, and then what they say is, you know, what I do. If they don't want me to, then I won't. If they say, sure, go ahead. The more the merrier, then go ahead, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely know folks that run the gamut on this, in terms of you're almost lucky to get an invitation your damn self, to folks that look at you like, what, you just came by yourself? So I, you know, obviously if I know the guests, then I will typically ask them, you know, how much wiggle room do I have in terms of a guest? Is it a plus one affair? Do you want some new, you know, do you want to have some new faces in there? And typically folks, they'll answer, you know, it tends to be a good idea to ask the question, and you can get salty if they tell you, no, don't invite nobody to my house.
Right.
it's their house. It's their party. You don't get to call shots in their house. I've found that typically if I am going to bring anyone or invite anyone else to someone else's party, that I will kind of let the host know who they are, because it can be a small world in Black Gaydom. And for all you know, you could be inviting somebody's messy ex to a party, which was going to be a very dignified affair. And next thing you know, it is Ratchetville. So I try to be mindful of that, and you know, unless you want a ratchet party,
yeah,
then you go with it.
Yeah, I will tell you at one of now by accident one of the might be I don't know if you were there or not, but one of the parties that we had gone to, there were two people who had had a history, and it didn't end. The history was not good.
Oh,
and so I noticed at the party they kind of kept a distance, you know, because I guess they didn't want that interaction. So it was a little bit, it was awkward, but that was something that happened by accident. They just happened to be part of the same group that was all invited to this person's house, and they both happened to show up there. And, you know, again, there was no drama, and eventually it did end up okay where they were friends and they could talk and it was no big deal. But I saw firsthand kind of the awkwardness and kind of the, I don't want to say anger, but just the, you know, there were some feelings there that, you know. So you don't want to invite anybody. I mean, that could have turned out ugly. I don't think it would have, but it could, you know, it could have. Just a situation like that is where it could turn out a little ugly.
Well, I've seen the whole spectrum where you've had folks that, they're not exes. They just do not like one another. I've seen folks come to blows. I have seen folks get cursed out in very loud public ways. I even saw someone's lock on the floor once. Like, the fight was so serious, a lock got snatched out the scalp, and it was just sitting in the middle of the rug, and I hollered because I have no damn sense. But it was also very sad because I'm like, oh, these two brothers are fighting one another, and this is just not, it's not cool. We just, and it was, at the same time, you were like, Lord, this is world star hip hop quality scrapping and ratchetry going on. And so we, luckily no one videotaped it.
That was going to be my next question, by the way.
There's no footage. All we are left with are memories. But I think also you just, you know, you really have to, if I'm invited to a party, I'll ask, what kind of affair is it? Unless I know the host that well, and I kind of have already talked with them maybe, and they're like, oh, it's my birthday, and I'm trying to keep it classy this year, and you know, they buck wild most of the time, and they're trying to keep it classy, so you honor that. And so you, if you do have space for a plus one, you try to bring somebody that's has some damn sense. And you know, you kind of go from there, and you'd be like, now look, if you know somebody up in this party and y'all got beef, keep that shit to yourself. You want to take number two?
Yeah, number two is like, don't bring your complaining non-social friend.
Okay.
I honestly, I don't even know why you even consider bringing somebody like that.
Well, depending on my fatigue level, I can be this. I think we, all of us can. We're just, you're like, well, I don't want to sit at home. So I'll go. And you've been kind of told that it's a certain type of affair, and it turns out to be something else. I could see myself being a little bitchy in that context.
But then why would you want to go, though? I mean, I guess I could see maybe not staying at the house, but then...
Well, I mean, if I'm told it's, oh, it's a, you know, it's a house party, so-and-so, you know, it's a dinner party, it's going to be like 6 people there, 8 people there, you know, pretty cool, we're going to have dinner, you know, we'll talk and laugh a little bit, have some wine, and chill out, that kind of thing. If I'm a little tired, especially if it's a Friday night, I might be willing to go to that. But if someone had said to me, oh yeah, it's going to be off the chain, blah, 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 you know, we're going to be twerking and blah, you know, and it just, all of that, and it's going to be the house just packing and the folks, the bodies moving to the wall, sweat, I'm going to stay home. I would smile and say, I appreciate you thinking of me, but I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to have to bypass that because I'm going to be that bitch tonight. I'm going to be the one sitting there like, why is this fool talking to me? Why do they keep knocking my drink out of my hand?
Yeah.
Just, I'm going to be that one because I'm just not in the mood for it. And not every party is for everybody.
Yeah, and this, you know, this article, it describes like a gay house party. It's not the house party that most people think of, where it's like hundreds of people. This says that it's, you know, typically under 50, and it's just more intimate. So if you do have somebody there that's really not into it, I guess it might be easy for them to kind of bring the energy down of the party.
Yeah, because I know one time a friend of mine used to do a party every year, and the way his house was set up, it was like there were about 3 or 4 different parties going on at one time.
Because I think that's what all of them end up being. Everybody kind of clusters.
I mean, you know, he had a game room, so you had folks in there playing cards, shooting pool. You had the living room, which he had hardwood floors in there, so it was almost like a mini ball in there where folks were, you know, walking the runway and shit and cutting up. And, you know, that was fun for a minute. And then I said, okay, I'm going back to the spades table. there was a stripper in the backyard. You know, if that's what you needed, you can go out there, get you a little stripper, and then come back.
I would have been out
in
where the stripper was, though.
You know, I mean, I worked all the rooms, frankly. You know, you had a couple of folks, you know, getting a little lascivious in the bathroom, which got them evicted from said party. Because not only were they disrespecting the house, they ain't even clean up after themselves. Just trifling.
Well, that's a little later down on the list, too, by the way.
Yeah, I'm sure that's on the list. Or some variation is on the list. And, you know, and so they were, and then the kitchen was where all the good gossip and all the good tea was being spilled.
The kitchen is always the place where the gossip is, I think.
Yeah. You know, folks would come in there to get a plate, and they would just get filled up with all kinds of dirt, and then they had to go to the other part of the party, like, girl, they're talking about you.
So they go for a plate and they come out with tea, right? That's what it is.
Yeah. They're like, you know, but like they said you wearing, you know, yeah, it was, they talk about damn near anything. It was off the chain. I would just sit there and howl. It was a fun party. I used to go every year. And then he'd have, you know, and that party was about 100 guys. Okay. With a couple of lesbians sprinkled in. And it was a great party every year. But he'd also have smaller dinner parties throughout the year as well, usually about once a month. And so, yeah, that was a good thing. And I knew not to invite people to the dinner party. Was told if I'm working on a little project, if I got a little man I'm working on, then I can bring him. But
you can bring him.
Yeah. Otherwise, he was going to bring somebody for me.
Because,
you know, I'm supposed to be married off. So that's what I've been told. Hell, your husband even says that all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah, trying to marry me off. I'm like, I am a mess. I don't know if anybody can deal with me, but okay. Yeah. Speak of the devil, why is your husband calling me right now? Oh, goodness. Okay. We'll see if we should edit this out. Hold on a second. Hello.
I'm here.
I'm back. Your husband's crazy.
What happened?
May I just say that?
Oh, you know, I forgot to mute this whole time.
No, I didn't either. Because I didn't know what jewels he might drop that I might have to respond to. But yeah, he crazy. I'll just say that. He called because he's taking Roscoe for a walk. And he wanted to know if I wanted to go to Soup Plantation.
You wanted to do what?
Go to Soup Plantation.
Oh.
Yeah, well, because he's feeling raggedy because, you know, he got talked about. You know, all his lonely lunches on Saturday where he actually doesn't call anyone to say, hey,
oh,
you wanna go
okay.
With me?
Well, at least he did that.
He did. I'm proud of him. It only took me cursing him out about 5 times for that shit before he finally was like, oh, maybe I could call Mike. And then I was like, you know, I'm recording with your husband right now. And he was like, oh, he's like, I forgot that I'm a widow on Saturday. I'm like,
and
really?
And I didn't even tell him that I was coming to work to do it. And then I was going to work afterwards. I thought, there's no point in telling him that. So I just didn't tell
him. Yeah, he was like, well, I thought he was at work. I was like, yeah, it's Saturday and he's giving overtime. So he's taking a break from work to record and then he's going back to work. And yeah, so he's special. I told him I'd call him after my meeting later.
Okay.
Yeah, because, you know, I got a meeting with the lady. and we'll see if we can keep it to an hour and a half, because that's all I have time for. So, okay, back to our topic.
Yes.
Back to our topic. Oh, gosh. Okay, so we were talking about, the friend that doesn't fit. You have to kind of know who the people are you're inviting.
Yeah.
And as a guest, you kind of have to, you got to get permission and figure out whether this person's a good fit for the party.
I do want to add, I mean, I don't think it necessarily makes somebody, like, it makes somebody a bad person.
No.
Because I do think you have to, you have to know the type of people that are going to be there. Because like I said, if the party is going to be a bunch of people, you know, smoking stuff or doing some craziness, you know, mm-hmm. you know, drugs or whatever, then I'm going to be that person, you know, and I'm not going to want to, I'm going to feel very uncomfortable with that. So yeah. I might end up being like, why am I here? What, you know, this is not my type of crowd. So mm-hmm. I think before, yeah, you do have to kind of know, I mean, the host has to know, who's being invited. But I think you have to know the type of party it is too. Yeah, because you could be, I mean, I'm always up for the social stuff. If there's a way where I could hang out and talk with people and just chit chat and eat and all that stuff, I will always jump to that. But mm-hmm. if there's too many weird things, too many things that, you know, I would be uncomfortable with, then I could be that person who, I wouldn't say necessarily complaining, but I just may not be like, I feel like, as the thing says, non-social, just because I'm like, well, this is out of my element. So
yeah, I think if I'm hosting a party, I will let folks know, because people know the kind of party I throw, and so if it's anything out of the norm, then I'm going to let them know. Like, hey, okay, so this is not the usual, you know, come on in here and eat, and we going to talk some shit and, you know, listen to some music and you know, maybe dance a little bit, you know. It's like if your song comes on, you know, it's like, yeah. I throw old school parties. I'm like, I throw the parties my parents used to have, because that's what I grew up with, where you had that loud auntie like, oh, that's my song, and you know, she get her drunk ass up and she want to shake and, you know, and shimmy and carry, you know, that's, I like that kind of party. I'm not the person for the huge, you know, wall sweating party. I'm like, eh. I like to talk to people, just like you. I mean, I would not invite you to a party where the music is going to be banging, you know, banging, and the you got folks in a back room, you know, smoking weed and getting toe up, and everybody's drunk. You don't drink, so I wouldn't invite you to that.
Like, if there's different rooms. Mm-hmm. You know, like how we talked about earlier, like if there's different people in different rooms, that might be okay. But if the whole thing, then I might be like, oh, this is just, you know, might be a little too much.
Yeah, I had to find out what he's up to. I've lost track of him. Yeah, you know, it's just, you can't keep up with everybody. It's,
right.
You know, you just can't. All right, we should probably move on.
Yep.
Okay, so the third step or the third rule is, as a guest, you need to bring a bottle.
Yes.
Well, I agree. You know, I used to keep an inventory of bottles at the house, so I could just grab one, whether it was wine, liquor. I could just open up the case and pull something out of there and grab a little bottle. A little, you know, those tall skinny bags for bottles. I'd drop it in one of those and I'd hit the dough. If I know the host doesn't drink, you know, I used to keep some Martellis around as well to grab. But I also, like with my closest friends who drink, I always kept a bottle of what they drank at my house anyway. Because people would look at my bar and be like, damn. You were lush. I'm like, I don't drink this. And they were like, what? I'm like, no, these are all my friends' bottles. So these are like, that's like, I buy them for my friends, but this is what they drink. So if they're over and they need a drink, They know where to go.
You have your you have their drink right there.
Yeah. And, you know, I'm like, now, I'm not buying you a bottle every damn month. If you lick your bottle in too quickly, you might want to bring one with you next time. And they were all good with that because they knew I was good for at least maybe 2-3 bottles a year that I buy for them.
Yeah.
You know, I always kept some Tanqueray around. I kept some Kettle One. I kept some Sky, some Johnny Red, tequila. Oh, what was the other one? Uncle's. It was a whiskey, a bourbon whiskey. Uncle somebody or other. It was an orange label. Old Granddad, that's what it was. You know, I'd keep, you know, my folks, they had their bottles. And so, you know, yeah, I keep an inventory. All that stuff's in storage now because there's nowhere to put it in the current place. But, you know, I don't need to have it sitting around like that. But, yeah. I don't know. Well, yeah. What do you do with that? Because you don't drink. So do you?
But I mean, it's easy. I'll still bring something. It's not that I'm like turned off. I mean, it's like, mm-hmm. I mean, I'll still go buy them a drink, bring a drink, a bottle, and give it to them. Try to pick something unique, I guess, is what I would try to do. But yeah, I will buy something. That's necessarily mean that I'm buying something that I'm going to drink. You know what I mean? Yeah. Mm-hmm. So yeah. So it's not that big of a deal. Now I don't want people to think that I've never had an alcoholic drink. I've had enough, I guess. And I just do it for health reasons, so it's not like I'm just, you know, morally opposed to it. It's just I think for health reasons I just prefer, you know, not to do it.
Mm-hmm.
That's just my thing.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I don't have anything else to add on that one.
Yeah. The only thing that this kind of goes into the fourth one, mm-hmm. is that it says always show or hand the bottle to the host of the party.
Mm-hmm.
And so number four then says introduce yourself to the host. So, mm-hmm. yeah. I would feel weird if I'm in someone's house and I haven't gone up to them and introduced myself. So I think, you know, you have to do that. You can't just be. It would be weird for the host to see someone like, well, who is that? Who is this person? Who are you? You know, who are you or whatever. So, mm-hmm. I think bring the bottle, introduce them, take care of the two steps all at one time.
Yeah, I had an experience like this once where my homegirl, Liz, she used to do my nails, and she invited me to a party for 4th of July, and I was like, who are the people? Like, I just get like a random invitation, and then she's like, it's down on the beach, and I'm like, okay.
And, a house on the beach or actually on the beach?
It's on ocean.
Okay.
And so I don't know too many of our folk that live on ocean. Especially when I saw the house, I said, huh? And so we walk in. I took my boy Hank with me because I said, you know, can I bring somebody? Because I'm like walking into a party and I don't know who the hosts are. And she's like, oh, it's a big party. And I said, oh, okay. Because it was for, was it for Pride? No, it was 4th of July. 4th of July, I believe. And so, yeah, because there was no parking. Like, I had to park on 4th Street and walk down. Yeah, it was that ugly. And so, you know, my boy Hank and I, we go to the party, and we walk in the front door, and I'm just looking at this house like, my God. And I knew it was a black party because there was this sister up on the balcony with her leg hanging over the balcony. Just looking out onto the water, and I'm like,
so when you saw that, you're like, okay, it's okay for me to go in.
Yeah, I was like, this is the right house, I guess. And then I was like, who are these brothers? And I walk in the door, and there's this, you know, this very handsome gentleman off to the left, and he's kind of like, he looked like a tour guide, like I mean, he wasn't dressed like one, but he was, his body language was giving tour guide. And it turns out he was one of the owners of the house, and they had totally redone this house because it was like it had shifted on the foundation, and you know, and it's a beautiful Craftsman home. It's just like stunning.
They had money to fix that up though, especially right down on the ocean.
Yes, they did. And he kind of, like, we're walking in looking real confused, and he said, "Who invited y'all?" And he was, and, you know, because he didn't say it like, "Who invited you?" But he was like, "Hello, who invited y'all?" And I said, "Liz." He's like, "Oh, okay, you must be Michael." I said, "Yes."
Okay.
I was like, you know, and then he told me his name, and I was like, "Hey, you know," I was like, "I didn't know we were down here." And he's like, "Yeah, a couple of us made it in, you know." And it was just... And, you know, he's like, "No, you got to find my husband around here somewhere." Just, you know, and I mean, it took me about an hour to find his husband. But eventually I did run into him in the kitchen. But, yeah, it's just, you don't walk into folks' house and not introduce yourself.
And not at least meet the host.
Yeah. Now, this party, I was told not to bring anything. You know, because they are the host with the most.
Okay. Well, yeah, if they got a house right there, then...
Yeah,
they do it okay.
Yeah, it was laid out. But I mean, even if they, you know, even if they are doing okay, you know, I was told explicitly not to bring anything because there was plenty there, because they were actually, they even had custom drinks, you know, for the day. So they had a nice citrus mojito going and a couple other things and wine, and it was catered barbecue. It was lovely. And I've since been back over there, and I have brought a bottle, and I've brought some meat to put on the grill. You know, it's like you hand one of them the meat, you hand the other one the bottle, you're good. So you go sit out somewhere. So, but yeah, great hosts. And I would definitely never just invite random folks to their house. You know, and I think they would be cool if I did bring someone with me, particularly if I'm dating them, but I would still be like, "Hey, you know, I'm thinking about bringing somebody with me. Would it be all right?" You know, because they invest in their parties.
So, yeah.
Yeah, it just seems like a good idea. So, you know, I guess the other part of certainly being a good guest at a house party is in this day and age, you can't be snapping crazy photographs in the middle of somebody's party. Yeah, that's rule number 5.
Yes.
Now, I have to admit that some of the best parts of my dad's photo albums are the crazy-ass party pictures. I don't know if you saw the one where the woman was, like, coming out from between under a guy's legs, between his legs.
Mm-mm.
And she had her hand, like, over his crotch.
But see, those are fun.
I know, but they were all drunk. I mean, they were clearly fucked up. Like, you know, and she, I don't remember if she was drunk, but I don't know if I was even at that party, frankly, but the picture just totally represents my father's parties from my childhood, whether I was there or not.
I'm like, yeah, for me, I'm not a big picture taker, because sometimes I think when I see people taking... like pick a whole bunch of pictures, or like they're at a concert, filming a concert that they're at with their phones. I was thinking it's taking away from the experience of actually being there. So it always seems weird to me when people are just so caught up with, you know, in their phones or, you know, taking pictures. They're like, well, just put the phone down and just enjoy chatting with people, you know. I mean, an occasional photograph to share on Facebook, I guess, is okay, but I guess sometimes people go a little too far.
Well, yeah, I mean, we're definitely in that day and age where you will see people at parties and all of them are on phones, which to me, I'm at home and I'm kind of in my tablet or in my phone. If I go out, hopefully I'm not bored to the point where I got to be in my phone, but I kind of go out to have that human connection. So it's always strange to me that folks are out on the town. But as an introvert, I have to say, sometimes I have to check out. If I have the option, you know, I've been to a couple of events where they're indoors and I can step outside for a bit. I have done that. And other times, if the conversation is just not moving me, or other times it's just something that pops up into my head and I just got to get it down on paper, I'll pull it out and I'll peck it in there and then I'll put it away. But yeah, it's strange connecting with people now, because it seems like folks often have everything else better to do than to connect. I think even connecting sexually is getting more challenging.
Yeah.
And that's kind of like the final frontier, and even that's really becoming difficult to do. But that's my assessment. I won't say that it's a universal truth. It's just something that I've seen increasingly.
But I will say, like, if I'm somewhere, it doesn't bother me, but I do expect to be photographed. I figure there's going to be something where I'm going to be in a picture somewhere. And again, it doesn't bother me, but I guess not everybody wants that. So.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I guess that's why you have to be like, okay, let me, you know, don't do too much with the camera, with your phone and all that.
Yeah, because I know there are people that are not comfortable being photographed in different contexts, because of professional, you know, obligations, or just so-and-so doesn't need to know where I am, or this person is still connected to my ex, and, you know, my ex was not anything nice, got a restraining order, you know, you run the gamut. And so you do kind of have to be aware of that. I'll just kind of say to people, like, okay, I got to get a picture of that. And if they, you know, they can self-select themselves out. I'm not going to ask 8 people to take their picture. I'm just going to say, I want to get a picture of y'all. And if you don't want to be in it, or you don't want to have your face in it, then you need to step out of the picture, or you can cover your face. However you want to work it, it's your world. But it's always tricky with the photos. I think when you have people that go into a party with the intention of doing surveillance and you know, putting folks on blast and spilling tea all over the table, that's out of bounds, I feel like.
Putting folks on surveillance and putting folks on blast. How? I mean, like, trying to catch people cheating or something, or?
Yeah, it could be somebody cheating. It could be, what did they say on the read? They had that one letter with a girl was talking about her cousin, where she's like, if they ain't red bottoms, you know, if you ain't wearing red bottoms, you ain't shit. Hmm. And the woman that was saying all that about people only had one pair of red bottoms, and her cousin just read her for filth. And talking about every time she goes out, she got on that one pair of red bottoms. That's all she got. I don't know how she's trying to act like. And I was just like, ooh. So I've seen people take pictures at parties and post them on social media and read somebody's clothes.
Oh.
I have seen them take pictures, unflattering photos of folks. I won't say unflattering. Photos that may not present you in the best light. Where you just look a little bigger than what you are, or, you know, highlight some part of your body that you're not particularly proud of, if not completely self-conscious about, and then post it somewhere or share it with people, make memes out of it, and read and roast people.
Okay, yeah.
That will get you disinvited from every party you can think of. And it's sad, because folks will do that, and they think it's cute. And they think, well, you know, so-and-so is always treating me like blah, blah, blah. And I've always, when I've encountered people that have done that kind of thing, I always ask them, well, what did they say when you let them know how they were treated, how they were experiencing you, you know, or you were experiencing them? Because it's not our perception of how people are treating us is not always the reality. Where it's like, oh, so-and-so was real bitchy. And it's like, no. That's who they are. You experience them as bitchy, but that's who they are, and I don't think that's bitchy. So it's always it's a language thing, but it's like you'll have people that will engage in that kind of really ugly, petty, messy behavior, and they haven't actually said anything about how they feel. And yeah, it's just really messy as hell. I'll put it that way. It's not cute. But I see we're running behind schedule, so we should probably move forward.
We probably shall.
So number six is just one of my pet.
I know. Oh, that's just a title of it alone. Like, oh my god, wipe up bathroom splash. I'm like, oh my god.
This is why I sometimes just stay home, because I know what my bathroom looks like. The picture in this article is really gross. I have to scroll past it. I have a thing about bathrooms.
Well, I mean, the first sentence does say men are disgusting creatures. So, you know, there's no better proof of this than the condition seen in most bar, club restrooms around 1 a.m. on a typical Saturday night. I'm like, yeah, you know what? It's horrible. So you cannot be doing this to people's bathrooms in their house. You just can't.
Yeah. Have you ever had that experience where you're like, you come out of a bathroom at somebody's home and, well, like you're going in and the person before you that comes out and you kind of turn around and say to them, you nasty bastard.
I have not done that.
I have, and it's not even a whole thing of, I'm not saying you peed on the floor, but you couldn't knock this piece of tissue into the toilet. You couldn't flush the motherfucking toilet. Just basics. It's like, I know your mama, your grandmama, your auntie, all the women told you better about this
shit. Yeah, it doesn't mean that they listen to it, though.
So why are you doing it? Yeah, but that's the main thing. Don't go to nobody else's house making a mess. That is what I grew up with. And maybe that's just because I was raised Southern. I don't know. But
yeah, I don't think everybody has that, you know.
Ooh, that's unfortunate.
I think if, especially if people are like, well, someone else will clean it up, then, and that's been what's happened, then I don't think that they care. I mean, it's weird. And how are you really going to know who did it? If you're the host and somebody totally, you know, trashes your bathroom, how are you going to know who did it? I mean, unless somebody tells you, right?
So. Well, yeah, but I don't know. I was definitely raised with that mentality of leave stuff better than you found it. And I'm not saying I'm going to go to someone's party and bust out some rubber gloves and clean their bathroom. But certainly, I don't have a problem wiping off the sink basin if there's water all over the damn thing. If there is a piece of tissue on the floors, I might get another piece of tissue and pick it up and throw all of it in the trash, you know, and then I'm going to thoroughly scrub my hands. Yeah, I mean, I'm not saying you got to turn into Florence, you know, and buff the floors, but I would feel ashamed if I walk out of someone's bathroom and someone else is walking in right behind me and the bathroom is fucked up. I would even say, like, if it's beyond what I'm willing to do, I'd be like, hey, bro, you might want to hold up a minute because it's struggling in there. and I've done that. And I've actually found a host and said, hey, your bathroom is really, somebody has lost their damn mind in there. And they were like, oh, shit. You know, and then they'll go take care of it. And they actually appreciate that you were discreet about it, as opposed to walking in like some people, what the fuck, who did? And, you know, and you just be like, really? You could have been a lot more discreet about that. Like, we all know you got about 60 penises in this place and 120 testicles, give or take, using this one bathroom.
Yeah.
It's not going to stay pristine, but did you have to be that damn tacky about it? So, yeah, I don't have much else that I need to say because my skin's crawling right now.
No, yeah.
Yeah. You want to go to 7?
Yep. Don't get wasted. It's number 7.
The stories I could tell about that one. What I will just say, and I will probably elaborate on this story in a future episode, is I was actually sexually assaulted by a wasted gentleman at a party once. And it was relatively...
Sexually assaulted?
Yes.
Oh, I was just kidding.
No, he tried to take it, but he didn't get it. But he tried. And, you know, and he was drunk off his ass. And so, you know, we've all heard of the guy, the girl that's at a party and just really kind of loses agency over their body, and where that can lead. And it's not because you're drunk, it's an invitation to to be violated. But some people certainly take it as an invitation to violate you. I was actually sober and was assaulted by a very drunk gentleman, who actually was a gentleman when he wasn't drunk. But
That was going to be my next question. Like I said, what was he like when he wasn't drunk?
But, oh, he was great. He's actually a totally different person. Very apologetic.
Mm-hmm. Okay, at least he did that.
Oh no, he was very The host commanded him to apologize to me after he found out what went down. I have to tell that story because, you know, we're running short on time. But that one, it's a showcase thing. Yeah.
Drunk queens will always cause drama.
Yeah,
drunk queens will always cause drama.
Oh my gosh, yeah, he was a lot. But yeah, very different guy when sober. And I believe he's 12-stepping now. He's been sober for about 15 years. So that's a good thing.
Good for him.
Yeah. Well, you know, because I did stay in touch with him to a certain extent, because I kind of recognized his side effects. And I said, you know, I'm not trying to be your man, but, you know, you have some redeeming qualities, so I'll deal with you on a certain level. Plus, he's a great dinner date. 5-star all the way. He could afford it. I was like, I let him feed me. He could afford it. So it's just, he's still trying to make it up to me. So don't get wasted. Nobody likes a messy guest falling out.
Plus people get into fights. When people get drunk, then that's when the fights end up starting. It's like, oh my God.
Oh yeah, that's when that true nature and that conflict come out. When you really know how you feel about shit.
I think there were two different occasions where we were at Pride, and actually it was women fighting this time. And both times, it was drunk women that were fighting and had to clear out the. We were watching someone perform on stage. I don't even know who it was, and we had to clear out of the area we were in because folks were getting too serious.
Yeah, and it's always interesting because most of the fights I've seen between guys, they have not been drunk.
Oh.
I mean, they've not been drunk, or the person that instigated the fight was drunk. But the people that are actually fighting over that person or around that person are not drunk. So it's just, and either way, whether you are a hot ass mess or you are a shit starter, or you are just that messy person that's on the dance floor, falling and stumbling, falling on folks, falling asleep on the couch. We won't talk about that. I have somebody in particular in mind that fell asleep on a couch at a party and literally slept for 2 hours on the couch in the middle of a party. just raggedy. So, yeah, you're not at home. Monitor your liquor. Know what you can and cannot do and still get home. If you're driving, keep that ass sober or have your drink early in the night and then you nurse some water. I'm like, if I'm driving and I know I'm going to be at a party for 3 or 4 hours, I will have my cocktail early in the evening, and it's strictly water after that, because by the time I'm ready to go home, I'm basically, I don't even notice any impairments if I have any.
And then let it go through your system by the time you're ready to go.
Yeah. Drunk driving is never something that I've even wanted to try. Hell, drunk walking is a problem. Drunk sitting is a challenge. So why would I want to operate a vehicle?
Exactly.
Yeah. So I don't know. Those are my personal policies, though. Not everyone shares them.
Yep.
Yeah.
Last one.
You got it? Okay.
Yeah. Leave long before the host starts cleaning up.
Mm-hmm.
I have a little bit of a different take on this one, though.
Okay.
Because sometimes when I actually will sometimes stay behind and help the host clean up if they want me to. So I always offer.
Mm.
So, because, you know, I think it takes a lot of work to host. And so I feel like, hey, you know, you went through all this trouble. The least I could do is at least offer to help. And most of the time they'll say no. You know, oh, I got it, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So I could kind of see, I mean, if you're going to stay late, I think at least offer to help, you know.
Well, yeah, I think it depends. If I'm really good friends with the host, then obviously I'll kind of ask them at some point earlier in the evening, like, what's your cleanup situation looking like? And if they, you know, if they've already hired someone to come in and take care of that, I know a couple of friends that, like, they have a person that comes in on Sunday morning or that comes in the morning after a party to just take care of it. They just go to bed. They just lock the doors and the windows and make sure all the faucets are turned off and they go to bed. And, you know, the cleaning crew comes in the morning. But yeah, if it's a friend that doesn't, that you know, they're washing all the dishes themselves, you know, then you offer. I offer to help.
Yeah.
But if it's somebody that I don't know that well and things do start to slow down, then it's time to go.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Unless you're just really engaged in this really fascinating conversation with the host and they kind of have given you the cues like, oh, no, you can stay. You don't have to feel like you have to rush out. Then you can hang out. And I've done that. I've left as soon as the exodus starts to occur. I've stepped out as well. It just depends on your relationship to the host, I think.
Yeah. And, you know, how many of your friends, you know, are there and
yes,
are staying late? Because, again, you don't want to be... I don't want to be the only one of my friends left afterwards, especially if I don't know who the host is.
Yeah, that's
so if
messy.
My friends start rolling out there, I was like, okay, you know what? That's my cue to go.
Now, if you got a piece of man you're working on, then you can stay.
Yeah.
You got to finish that project, you know. You got to decide whether you're getting a number. Are you going to beat a number for the evening?
Mm-hmm.
Did you need to go to Denny's before you become the number? or is it just a really intriguing conversation and you would like to learn more about this man? You still go to Denny's or Norm's or wherever else, you know. Used to be the Short House Cafe till they closed it down. They had the best food of all the over the 24-hour spots. It was definitely Short House, but yeah. Oh, well. I guess we would say pay attention to the room. Pay attention to your situation. Okay. Does that wrap up our...
I think so.
Gay house party etiquette? Okay. Well, hopefully some lessons have been learned or confirmed. Some of these things, I was just like, oh, well, that makes sense. You don't think about it, but when you hear it, you're like, oh, that makes sense. Yeah, that's a good thing to do. So now we're going to turn our attention to our next segment, Ask Your Brista. And these are the questions that we get from our sisters out there. Our first question is from Donna, and I have titled her Donna in Distress, and you'll know why once I've read it.
Okay.
So Donna writes, my friend had a bad breakup last year and needed a place to stay. So I took her in, loaned her money, brought her on trips, and counseled her for many hours on the phone. I've tried to get her back on her feet, but she sticks to me like a baby sticks like a baby calf to a teat. Ugh. She calls me with all her problems and gets very emotional if I don't return the call. I'm a woman with a busy career, a marriage, a family, and lots of friends, and she's becoming really annoying. What should I do? So that is Donna in distress.
Ooh, yes, you are in distress.
People are like, Donna in the mess.
Yes.
What you got for Donna?
The hard part is that it doesn't, I don't know. I mean, you say you loaned her money. Okay, so, I mean, is she paying that back? Is she, I mean, is she working to be able to pay that back?
I assume that the friend probably is, because she's moved out of Donna's house. And it sounds like at this point she's basically being very, if she has a question or a dilemma or any sort of doubt, she's calling Donna with it. But it seems like the friend is back on her feet, financially and residentially, but emotionally maybe not so much.
The friend has moved out or has not moved out?
The friend has moved out, because she says when she calls, she basically, she's calling too much and it annoys her and she doesn't return the call. Yeah, she says she calls me with all her problems and gets very emotional if I don't return the call. So it sounds like the friend has probably moved out and is, you know, because it was a breakup. So I'm guessing the friend got put out of their apartment, or it was maybe, you know, her partner's place, and she got put out, needed a place to stay. And so her friend, you know, helped her out. Gave her a place to stay. I think she got back on her feet financially, because it sounds like she was hit pretty hard with the breakup, with her money. So maybe she didn't have a job. I don't know. She didn't provide that amount of detail, because, you know, something that long we wouldn't read.
It's just right, exactly.
We wouldn't read it. But yeah, it sounds like, you know, her friend is really just emotionally not capable of making decisions for herself. And Donna is like, look, you're doing too much. And I got too much to do to be doing this with you. So she's like, what should she do at this point?
I mean, I don't know. Does this girl, does she have friends? I mean, other friends that can kind of take some of the load off, you know, of Miss Donna? That way, because, I mean, if Donna's got, if she has lots of friends, she's married and she's got her own family and she has a busy career, you know, some of that's got to get spread around to other people. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't want to say burden, but I mean, just the trying to help this girl out.
Yeah.
I sense you're struggling
with Donna.
Huh?
I sense that you're struggling with to tell Donna.
Yeah, just because, I don't know. I mean, some of this has got to be spread between other people. There's got to be other people that are going to have to help this woman, mm-hmm, to get her to a place where she could make decisions and just not be so clingy, I guess, to Donna. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the only thing I can think of to say. And I mean, this girl, there needs to be some kind of, like, a, I don't want to say tough love or kind of a gentle nudge or something, like, this is not permanent. You know, you've got to get to a point where you are able to make decisions and you're able to do what needs to be done for yourself and not necessarily rely so much on other people. That's my advice.
Well, I think that the reality is, Donna probably needs to treat her friend at this point, because I'm pretty sure Donna has said to her, like, girl, I don't have time to do all this with you. I think Donna might need to treat her like an appointment. So when she calls, you know, be like, oh, well, I'm giving the kids a bath right now. So I can't talk with you right now. But why don't we do lunch? You know, I can meet with you on such and such date. And I think she has to kind of break this cycle of the friend calling her for everything, because it is unfair for her to expect Donna to step in at her beck and call and help her out. And I could see if her friend had some sort of chronic disease that really inhibits her from caring for herself in the ways that she needs to. But it just sounds like this is a person that doesn't really respect Donna's other obligations and maybe a bit of a narcissist.
Yeah.
It's never enough, because, I mean, this is also a person who I don't know exactly what happened, but this person was in a position with someone where they broke up and suddenly they have nowhere to live. And if they're being taken on trips, then clearly they weren't making enough money on their own to take care of themselves, and there was a certain amount of dependence that they may have had on this other partner. So it just seems to me that this, you know, her friend is a bit of a leech.
Yeah.
Who, you know, whether it be financial, emotional, she's a leech.
Well, definitely emotionally.
Yeah, emotional leech. You know, and those are probably some of the worst ones. Because you don't always see what they're doing to you until it's too late. I've definitely been there. So, yeah, I just feel like she needs to start putting some really firm boundaries in place with the friend, where just because she answers the phone, you know, it's like confirm that it's not an emergency, and then be like, okay, well, girl, I can't talk right now. And, you know, so... why don't we catch up another time? Like, I can meet you for lunch, you know, next week or a couple of weeks out. And, you know, and if she's, and if the friend wants to have a problem with the timing of that, that's when, you know, Donna can basically say, well, girl, this is my life right now. this is, you know, I got kids I'm raising. I got a husband, you know, that I'm in partnership with, and you're neither of those people. So you my home girl. I have some time for lunch in a couple of weeks. We can sit down then. If you want to just talk, that's fine, but I can't deal with everything being drama and a crisis on your behalf.
Right.
You know, if that's all you have to share, I don't want it. I don't want it. You know, have you considered counseling? Is there anyone else you can speak with? Yeah, I think Donna is kind of getting railroaded. And because, you know, Donna, sweetie, because you seem to have a good heart, she's taking advantage of that. I really feel like that's what your friend is doing. She's taking advantage of the fact that you do have a good heart, and she's going to milk it for everything she can. And it's unfortunate.
I hope not, but...
that's what it sounds like to me. You know, she's basically saying, no, you gonna do what I want you to do when I want it. You know, and it's just... Yeah, I mean, hot messes, we all know a hot mess.
Yes.
And you do feel for them because they are such a mess. But at a certain point, it's you or them. You know, it's like you can love them, but you got to love yourself more. That's how I look at it. And I can tell you for a long time, I took care of a lot of people. And it wasn't until I broke down and fell apart my damn self, you know, and was just like, well, damn, I've been running on fumes for a long time because there was nothing left for me.
It was all being given to everybody else.
Yeah, I mean, I was getting wiped out. And, you know, the folks that were trying to give things to me, I was so stuck in the role of always being the one who was giving that I just could not receive. Could not, would not receive. And so it took a number of years, but eventually I just fell apart. And that's when I realized, like, you're giving way too much. You're maintaining way too many relationships. You're taking care of way too many people. And that's kind of how it goes. And hopefully this is your wake-up call, Donna, that this doesn't feel good. And there is no solution that's going to make her happy. Because it's not about making her happy. It's about making yourself happy and taking care of the people and the responsibilities that you have welcomed into your life. You're a mother, you're a wife, you know, you're a businesswoman, you have a career. Those are three pretty big things on their own. And
yeah.
It's okay for you to be a friend that can cheerlead and say, girl, go get it. Yes. I totally see this is you. Yes, that's your shit. Go get it. There's nothing wrong with being that friend. But, you know, the friend is carrying the water and the buckets are heavy as hell. Mm-mm, you can't be her. That's what all this pressure and anxiety is telling you. You cannot be her. So stop trying. Set boundaries. What does your lunch schedule look like? When can you be a lady who lunches? And then that's when you slot her in. And if she coming with some yin yang, be like, girl, tick tick, tick tock.
It's like, you know,
tick tock.
Be like, I mean, just I was gonna say, just make sure you tell her that you love her, and, you know, but
yeah, I mean, if she's in that much distress, to where she's just she's tearing you apart, she needs to talk to somebody that's professional, that's equipped to handle that. You know, and that therapist that she may or may not go to probably obviously has a career. They may have a spouse or a partner and kids, but they at least have the tools and the well-equipped and well-formed boundaries to keep your friend and her drama in her 50-minute session. Whereas you are carrying your girl around every day, all day. So stay in your lane. Understand what being a friend means for you, and cut that girl loose. If there's any extra drama she's trying to introduce to your life, that's not her job. It's your kid's job to introduce drama. It's your husband's job to make sure you all right after the kids done wore your nerves out. You know.
Exactly.
and you're doing the same for him. Those are the folks you're supposed to be taking care of if you're taking care of anyone. And so those are the things that you made a vow about around. And so yeah, I get it. I've been there, Donna. I have been in distress. I have been the diva in distress on many occasions. And I basically said, no more. No mas. You can too. And please do. Because otherwise, you're not going to be present for your family. And that's, they matter more than your homegirl. I have nothing else. Did you have anything else for that dark boy? Because I could go on for an hour.
Nope. That is all I had for Miss Donna.
Okay. Now, you know, this is going to be a future topic, right?
Yes.
Toxic relationships. Yes.
And yeah, this does fall under that.
Yeah. And it's also going to be a thing of, like, levels of friendship. You know, like, boundaries. Who do you do what for? You know, who's your ride or die? You know, cultivating... knowing who your team is, you know, who's on your team, who you can call for what, and who you know is going to call on you for things and whether you can give it. So yeah, we'll tackle that one at a later date.
Yeah.
Okay, so we will now move on to our next letter, unless there was something you wanted to add.
No, that was it.
Okay, I said plenty, probably for about four people, so
yeah,
sorry about that.
Oh no, that's all right.
All right.
So,
we are now helping a brother out.
Yes, now we're going to help a brother out. So, this is from Lee in Vegas.
Oh, my.
So, okay. This is a short... he says, I suck at first dates.
Oh.
At times, I'm too talkative. Other times, I'm too quiet. Any recommendations for, like, how to have a successful date? Destinations, anything. I'll take anything is basically what he's saying.
Okay. You want to take that first?
Yeah, I wanted to say, like, I don't know if I was always afraid of, you know, of being a bad first date, because I always had this idea in my mind that, you know, a first date always had to be that you had to go to some stuffy restaurant and have dinner. And I just wonder if that's part of what this is. If you think that you have to be, it has to be like a first date is supposed to go a certain way. And I think I'd be the type of person, you know, if I was in the dating world, but like our first date could be going to an amusement park.
Mm-hmm.
Or it could be going to a concert. Or it could be, you know, taking a drive down, you know, down the coast or something like that. So something, just something different, not the norm, I guess. I mean, it mm-hmm. could even be, I mean, you're in Vegas, so you could see a show or something. So it just, mm-hmm. I think if it's like that, obviously something that you guys are both interested in, I think then it wouldn't even feel, it would just be like a natural thing. It won't feel like you're on a date and you're trying probably too much, trying to impress somebody. I don't know. That's just my take on his question.
Okay. Well, I would say, and what's this child's name again?
Lee.
Lee, thank you. Lee from Las Vegas. Okay. So, Lee, a couple of things come to mind, really. You know, the general rule about first dates is that you want to have it be in a setting where if it's trash and you need to get away, it's relatively easy to do that. The other part is that you want it to be in a situation where you can actually talk, that's conducive to conversation, so you can get to know the guy better. Now, with that said, I do like Dark Boy's suggestions about different destinations, because you do ask about that. I think that because you're nervous and having anxiety, because that's basically what it sounds like in terms of either being too quiet or too talkative, and probably a little shy, and probably looking a little shady and standoffish as well, frankly. That's a possibility. I'm not saying that is what's happening, but it seems possible, at the very least aloof. You want to pick something for a first date, an activity or a location that really speaks to you, so you're comfortable. It can be an activity like a movie, where obviously you're not supposed to talk in the movie, but you can meet for dinner beforehand.
Yes.
Or after.
That's what I was thinking about.
But maybe you meet a half hour before the movie and you kind of sit down somewhere outside the theater. You just kind of chat and talk about, you know, who you are and what's coming up at a movie and how you feel about it. Because if you're really excited about the movie, then that's going to come through. And the reality is, if he can't handle your excitement, or you're too whatever, whether you're too geeky, you're too this, you're too that, you're too femme, you know, you're too butch, you're too whatever, and he needs to make a break for it, cool. You can go in there and watch the movie because you want to see it anyway. Yes, I'm shady like that. You know, I date in a utilitarian way, if at all possible, because I don't know. I've encountered enough foolishness out there to plan ahead. But yeah, find, you know, put as much of the date on your terms as you can, not being territorial about it, but just making yourself comfortable. So instead of maybe saying, oh, well, you know, what do you want to do? If you know there's something that you want to do, make a suggestion. And present it in an appetizing way where you're like, hey, you know, there's this movie coming out and the reviews look really good. You know, how about we go see that? And at that point, you kind of learn a little bit about the guy, like what type of movie does he like? Or, you know, he even say, well, it's not really my type of movie, but you want to go see it, so I'll go see it with you. So now you know he's willing to sacrifice a little bit and be flexible. Yeah. And accommodating.
Yeah, flexible.
Because there may be some other things that you need to request later on in a relationship. and you want a guy that understands compromise and who doesn't insist upon his way all the time. You also, I always feel like if you're not quite sure what to talk about, having an activity to talk about, you know, going to a movie. Because when you're in the movie watching it, if he's laughing at the same things you are, or he's laughing at different parts than you, that gives you some information, and you can kind of start asking questions about that, because the whole point of the date is asking your questions, to figure out, like, if I gave this fool some, will he kill me? And if I gave him some, would I like it? It's like, you know, but it's really just learning who he is and what's his sense of humor. What does he value? You know, in the there's a reason he's laughing at the parts that you're not. You want to know what they are, not in a suspicious way, but just like, okay, I was not laughing at that. What did that trigger in you? You know, you can ask that question. Not so much why was it funny, but what did it trigger in you? Because it wasn't funny to you. It was funny to him. So you want to know, why was it funny to him? You know, you can start with, did you like the movie? Or did you like the hunt, the horseback ride? Or, you know, I hope you like turkey on your sandwich, because that's all I had in the fridge. And, you know, my life is very full, so I didn't make it to the grocery store as I thought I would. There are different ways to approach conversation. And it may seem like to you at times you're talking too much, but it may be he's not a talker. So you're going to have to carry 70% of the conversation. And if you're okay doing that, then great. If you're not okay doing that, then he's probably not a good pick for you.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like with Dark Boy and I. If Dark Boy talked as much as I did, this show would never work.
Yes, you are definitely more of a talker than me. So.
Yeah. You know, and it's interesting because, you know, my business partner.
But you call yourself an introvert.
Yeah. Well, I am a very well masking extrovert, because everything I do requires me to be extroverted. But it's not so much the demeanor. It's all about how you recharge with the introvert extrovert. It's about where do you get your energy from. And for me, it's definitely disappearing, because my life is decidedly extroverted in terms of my behavior. And it sounds like Lee might have some similar proclivities. So, yeah. Just, you know, work with it. Be creative.
Yes.
Understand that nothing else is supposed to happen on a first date. Don't feel like you're going out trying to figure out, okay, what's going to happen next. The only thing that's supposed to happen on your first date is you're both supposed to show up. You're supposed to go have a good time.
Yes. Show up and have fun.
Yeah. Show up and have fun. Start there. Don't show up talking about, oh, is he going to be the one? And you know, and you see him and you like his swag, and all of a sudden you're visualizing the wedding. No, don't do all that. Just meet the guy. What's he about? Enjoy. Ask questions. Have fun. Be as transparent as you comfortably feel, without revealing too much about yourself. You know, it's still about a safety thing. You don't know the guy yet. But also be delightful. Let him know what he's getting if he were in relationship with you. You know, I mean, if you know you got a fabulous wagon behind you, that's an asset that you can now highlight, you know, or make even better with the personality attached to it, because eventually that booty gonna fall and he gotta talk to something else. So, you know, you have assets. Take inventory.
Yeah.
Play to your strengths. He'll ask about your weaknesses eventually.
Yes.
I don't know. But I'm just very talkative today, Dark Boy. I'm sorry.
That is okay.
I'm just real talkative today. All right. Did you have any more comments for Lee?
Nope, I don't.
Okay.
This is kind of a weird one, too. Well, no, I'll do the one from Terrence in Dallas.
Okay.
So, my boyfriend refuses to wear a condom.
Oh,
I'm
shit.
Very much into safe sex and being safe and, you know, staying clean, all that stuff, but he refuses to wear a condom. We're not doing PrEP yet. We're both negative, but I still feel uneasy with this. Any advice?
I'm gonna try to be brief.
Safe sex is part of our thing. I mean,
oh, absolutely. Well, it's good that you understand that you're both negative, and I'm hoping that you're continuing to test on a regular basis. I'm hoping that you're also doing some harm reduction work. So instead of, you know, if you are engaging in penetrative sex, then definitely you want to not do too much douching beforehand, because that compromises the lining. So you may want to try to keep yourself a little more quote-unquote clean with your diet, instead of, you know, with introducing outside agents. Because then if you're eating clean, then you shouldn't have too many problems with elimination. You'll be on a regular schedule. You'll kind of know when you could and when you should and shouldn't be doing things. Or you can do a quick rinse and you're good to go. Particularly if y'all ain't, you know, going mining and things. You know, one or two sprints should do it. In terms of, for me personally, I'll say that no glove, no love.
That's my...
It's just, I mean, but obviously I spoke to the fact that Terrence has been doing this despite his misgivings. So I want to give some advice on that. And also, if you are the penetrator, you need to make sure you pee shortly after you finish penetrating to clean out your urethra. Because you can catch quite a few things leaving things as is. I know it's all very romantic to fall asleep in one's juices, but go pee.
Yeah.
And if you are being penetrated, don't douche. Because that can actually cause some problems as well, unless the science has changed on that in recent years. But for me personally, as I said, no glove, no love. It's a deal breaker for me. So I can't see myself doing it, no matter how I might feel about you. And I have loved. I think it was love. Could have been lust.
Could have been lust.
it could have been lust, you know. But it seemed like love at the time. And folks made requests. And I was like, nope, we wear these. All right, don't touch me.
Yeah, I mean, I think mine just no glove, no love. I mean, you don't know. I mean, Terrence didn't say if they're exclusive. So is he out doing things with other people? Just take out the worry, and just no glove, no love. I mean,
yeah, it's just
very simple, I think. Because he didn't say enough about, are they exclusive? Are they having open relationship? Mm-hmm. He didn't say that, and he didn't say. So I would just, to me, it would just take away. I think you have to take control and just no glove, no love. And if he does wear a condom, he's not doing any of this stealthing business or whatever.
That's what I'm saying. Because that'll get a motherfucker's nose broke.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think also it sounds like Terrence hasn't fully negotiated all the boundaries in this relationship. I think that your health and your physical and your mental well-being should not be something you're going to compromise. If, you know, he gets to set policies for his body and what he will and will not do with it, and he's basically said to you that he will not have sex without a condom, that's fine. He needs to find someone that shares that same policy.
Yeah.
Because it ain't you.
Right.
I worry about whether this relationship is abusive. I feel like it is, because he's violating something that means a lot to you. He's taking away your safety, in as much as a condom can protect us. And he's also taking away a certain amount of pleasure from sexual activity, which is supposed to be a fun, intense, passionate connection between the two of you. And I feel like that's not possible, because you're kind of terrified about what
getting something
you don't know. And I mean, really, it seems to me that if he's the kind of guy that's going to quote unquote force or talk you into doing this against your wishes, I don't feel like he would actually respect any sort of vow of monogamy. I think that if the opportunity presented itself, he'd take it. And it's probably going to be without any barriers. So whatever that person might have is coming home to you. And, you know, that yeah. might be presumptuous on my part, but that is how my mind works, because I have seen enough of the horror stories. I have held hands and had my shoulder moistened by folks that have gone through this, that I'm, and you just, you look at it and you say, you know, this person, they really didn't care about your needs in this relationship, or they would have been wearing a condom. They would not have been sleeping with other people when you said to them that that was a deal breaker, or a previous person hurt you in that way because they did X, Y, or Z. You know, this is Terrence. There's plenty of dick out there. There's plenty of ass out there. Go yeah. find one that works the same way yours does. Yeah, I mean, the stroke game is probably, you know, it's probably some good dicks, some good busts, and I respect that. I do. I understand the power of a good one. you know, but it's not the only one out there. It's not the only set of assets out there, shall we say. You deserve to be able to protect your body, and you deserve to have sex without a heightened level of anxiety.
Yeah.
You know, thinking about whether this nut is going to kill you or give you some crap you can't get rid of. Because, you know, everybody talks about HIV. I'm concerned about herpes. You know, I'm concerned about that kind of stuff, because all of those STDs, I mean, herpes, you can't really get rid of.
Yeah.
And you think about chlamydia, syphilis, all these things, they compromise your immune system and your body, so you're more susceptible to contracting and seroconverting if you are exposed to HIV. Because it doesn't mean because you're exposed to it that you're necessarily going to seroconvert. You know, it sometimes people are exposed and they don't seroconvert that time. Other times it's a one and done. But, you know, there have been cases out there, and I know the last study I read, they said it was like a 25% chance of seroconversion when you're exposed to that virus. And I said, really? I just thought it was a definite. And apparently it was a 25% chance. And you could be one of those rare people that it just doesn't take, but you still got all these other things you got to worry about. So, I don't know. Terrence, love yourself, man.
Yes. Let love us you. Know how that goes.
Yes, we would appreciate a follow-up. We'd love to hear that you have kicked this fool to the curb.
Right.
And you out with a new man that is all about protecting parts. That yes. would be lovely news. We would be glad. We'd be very happy to hear that.
Yes.
But yeah.
All right. Yeah. All right. So if anybody listening wants to send us a question and have us provide our, I was going to say unprofessional, but I don't know, unprofessional advice, go ahead and email us at sexualhealingpod@gmail.com. And that's the same email address for the Ask Your Brista questions also. So help a brother out and mm-hmm. Ask Your Brista, email your questions to sexualhealingpod@gmail.com.
Mm-hmm. And also, be sure to check us out on Facebook. We have a group there where you can start conversations with us. We may even use those things on the show. And you can correspond with us via Twitter at HealingPod is our username there. On Instagram, we're SexualHealingPod.
Yeah.
And where else are we? I always get this list confused.
That's as well. You know, we mentioned Facebook already. Sexual yeah. Healing Podcast from Top to Bottom on Facebook.
Thank you. Yes, that was the name of that.
And then, you know, we want everybody and your friends to mm-hmm. subscribe to us on iTunes and give us 4- and 5-star ratings. You know,
if that's what's on your spirit.
Yes. And, of course, share with your friends. You know, we want more people to listen and mm-hmm. more people to enjoy listening yes. in on our conversations.
And also, I'm happy to add that we are now on SoundCloud as well. I was able to get that homework done. Yeah.
See, we coming up. We coming up.
So, but yeah, and you can, we want to be in conversation. We know there are a lot of conversations that we're having in our heads that we're not actually talking to anyone else about. And that's what this show is about, is shedding some light on those things so you can start that healing process, or at least starting to clarify where you stand on different things. You know, who are you looking for? What will you tolerate in relationship? What will you not? you know, what are your deal breakers?
Yeah,
all those wonderful questions. So, I don't know. Do you have any closing thoughts for us today, Dark Boy?
No, just do things that keep you happy.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure you focus on yourself, and, you know, just thinking back to Ms. Donna and Terrence. Make sure you set boundaries for yourself and for other people, and, you know, keep it going after that.
Well, I would say to dear Donna, Lee, and Terrence, keep thine wigs intact. Make sure they are pinned down and ready for the storm. And don't be afraid to turn folks loose. If they're supposed to be in your life, they will come back, and they will come correct. So that's all I got.
Yeah.
All right. And don't be a bad party guest. Don't be that one everybody talking about on the street.
Yeah. We'll have to put the link to the article in our...
Yes.
In our notes.
we're sure that the brothers of Cypher Avenue would appreciate a little more traffic.
Exactly.
They have a... Well, yeah, they have an interactive board system over there. It's really cool. So I think people would like their site. So, and they have some good conversations going too. So,
yeah,
Aki and Nick Del Macy, Aki Williams and Nick Del Macy. Those brothers are cool. So, all right, and that's Cypher Avenue, like the cipher, cypher avenue.com, and you can go to the boards. Alrighty, so, on behalf of my buddy's Dark Boy, and this is the infamous Dr. Pookie, we wish you a great week, and a happy hump day, and
don't work too hard.
Yeah, because I'm
like
zonked. I'm still not quite right. Okay, y'all have a good one.
Yep.
Take care.
See ya.
Thank you again for hanging out with us at the Sexual Healing Podcast, and we're happy that you were able to join us. We welcome and encourage you to reach out to us. You can reach us on Twitter at PodSexual. You can also send us comments or questions via email at sexualhealingpod@gmail.com. And you can also subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, and SoundCloud. Once again, definitely welcome you to reach out to us on Apple Podcasts and give us a review. 4 or 5 stars is appreciated. Share us with your friends, and let's get the word out there. We want to be in dialogue. Alrighty, so you guys have a great week, and